who have that desire to assemble with others of like precious faith and give our worship to God together. So my thank you for being here today. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning, and Dennis made reference to it in his scripture reading. And the lesson is from the text of Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. The rest of the story has to do with the curse that was placed upon the man who would rebuild it, and that's part of our story this morning. So I titled the lesson Hiel, and that's the man's name that rebuilt the city, and I've just titled it Hiel, what were you thinking? If you're a married man, you've heard that question too. What were you thinking? We all either say some things or do some things in life, and I know someone is right there to ask us that question. First question usually is, what did you do? Followed by, what were you thinking when you said that or when you did that? Going back in Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, and I put these two verses in your notes to kind of tie the introduction together. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and builds this city of Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn. Meaning when he lays the foundation, his firstborn is going to die. The next phrase is, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So when he completes the city and sets up the gates, his youngest son will die. In 1 Kings 16, verse 34, we have the rest of the story. This is many years later. It says, in his days, meaning the days of King Ahab, in Ahab's days did Hiel, that's the man's name, the Bethlehemite, build Jericho. Hiel rebuilt Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn. Abiram died when the foundation was laid. Set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub. Segub died when he set the gates of the city. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. We've been singing a song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And we remember the story. The story was that when they went into the promised land, Jericho was the first city that they encountered, and God gave instructions on how to defeat the city of Jericho. He asked them to march around the city once each day for 6 days. Then the Israelites on the seventh day would march around it 7 days. On that seventh day, after they marched around it 7 times, the priest would blow the trumpet, the people would shout, and the walls would fall down. And that happened. And all in the city, the animals, would be destroyed, save for Rahab and her family. And then the city was burned. So now, God through Joshua tells them what not to do. Do not rebuild that city. Jericho is a nice place, geographically. A nice view. We'd probably want to put a housing project in that neighborhood right there where it was, close to the Jordan River. Oh, nice location. Prime estate, as we would say today. Oh, that's a great place to build. Oh, but God gave a specific promise of what would happen to the man that would rebuild the city. Again, the oldest son would die when the foundation was laid, and the youngest son would die when the gates were set up. 530 years later, after Jericho was destroyed by Joshua and the Israelites, 530 years later, the reign of King Ahab, Hiel of Bethel, city close by, rebuilds Jericho. What a sacrifice to make for a city. You lost two sons building the city. Hiel, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Well, let's take a look at some lessons from the story. Number one, lack of information or knowledge is dangerous. I don't know about Hiel's knowledge. It's not stated in the text. So I make some presumptions. I put some perhaps in this just to make the point. Lack of information or knowledge is dangerous. Maybe he was unlearned about that warning all those hundreds of years earlier. I really doubt it. But let's just say that he might have been unlearned. He might have grown up in a family where the law was not read. Or maybe he slept through the Sabbath classes and didn't pay attention during the temple worship when this story was told. Maybe he was absent or sick on the day that Joshua 6, verse 26 was studied. Maybe he missed that class lesson. Maybe nobody cared enough to warn him of the danger of rebuilding. Oh, my. They might have said, oh, well, there goes Hiel. He's going to rebuild that city. You know, he's going to be cursed, but I don't want to get involved. And his family is going to be destroyed, but somebody else might have said, oh, he's made up his mind. It's none of my business to say anything. But ignorance, the point is, ignorance of God's word is dangerous. Hosea 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. And God says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Oh, I want to say to somebody, what are you thinking? When you say, I don't want to study God's word. Or I don't want to re-study what God says about a subject. What are you thinking? God says, I will reject you when you reject my knowledge. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul told Timothy to study. Study. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, it says, approve all things. Prove your faith and prove it over and over again. I have to do that. People ask me questions. I say, well, let's go back and take another look. See what God's word says. In Revelation 1, verse 3, it says, blessed is the man that reads, but it doesn't stop there. There's a blessing in reading. And they that hear the words of the prophecy, oh, there's a blessing in hearing. The blessing in just listening to the word of God being read and expounded. Oh, but there's another part to it. And this says, and keeps those things which are written therein. Oh, yeah, as good as it is to read and to hear. But when you don't keep the word of God, I want to say, what are you thinking? Why are you satisfied with just reading and hearing? And you don't do what it says. Like Hiel, what were you thinking? Number one, ignorance of God's word is dangerous. Number two, oh, God's word is always faithful. Always. Even 500 years later, God's word did not pass away. Did not go by the wayside. There's two sons. Remember the story? Abiram and Segub, and they died in the same sequence or the order that God said would happen. They died at the right time. One died at the laying of the foundation that Hiel did. The other died at the setting up of the gates of the city at the close of the building. That follows Joshua chapter 6, verse 26 to the letter. God's word is truthful. It will happen exactly as he says. Psalm 111, verse 7, all his commandments are sure. Number three, a government. Everybody knows whether state, local, or national, does exert a strong influence. And we see that even today. Nations or governments make laws or rules or regulations that don't always fit in with Bible teaching. Going back to our text and this story, Hiel rebuilt Jericho, and it says in the days of King Ahab. Well, 1 Kings 16, verse 33 says, 8 refers to Ahab. Says, did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And it was in his days that Hiel, the Bethlehemite, built Jericho. Perhaps he's looking at the king. Says, well, if the king can do all this, why can't I? If the king says this and that is okay, why can't I say this and that is okay? If the king can rebel against God, why can't I rebel against God? Hiel, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Acts 5, verse 29 says, you know, the magistrates during Peter and John's day, the early church, they said, don't teach and preach. Don't do that. But the apostles said in Acts 5, verse 29, Peter and the other apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's right. And our governments and other nations, they'll legislate laws that go against God's word. And legalize abortion. I'll obey God rather than man. But some people in the nation says, oh, well, the law says it's okay, then I'm going to do it. What are you thinking? Danny, in our prayer this morning, he was mentioning about people that are missionaries and folks in some other nations don't always have the freedom to preach God's word as they would like. And they do so knowing that the authorities may come in at any time. So many times in our prayer, we even use that phrase, God, we pray that they will worship in a way that's free and unmolested. We say that, thank you, God, that we live in a country where we can do that free and unmolested, not fearing the government coming in to rob us of our worship time. But there may come a time when that changes. I even think about Church of Christ chaplains in the military. Even the chaplains don't always have freedom to preach, maybe perhaps, you know, God's word exactly. Government has a strong influence on how people behave, and perhaps that might have had an influence on Hiel. The wickedness of Ahab influenced him to say, I think I can disobey God too. Hiel, what? Number four, spiritual blindness. When unbelief is powerful. When Hiel attended the funeral of Abiram, his oldest son, firstborn son, I would have thought that he would have given up that building venture, don't you? I would think that. So after he attends the funeral, if I can read into this story, attends the funeral of his firstborn son, he goes back to building. Hiel, what are you thinking? Finishes the building, and he goes to another funeral. Loses his youngest son. See, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I said before, maybe in the first point, maybe he didn't know. In this point, I'm going to tell you, he did know what the curse was. The other one's just kind of a perhaps he didn't know. Perhaps he does know because he was a Jewish male. And he, being a Jewish male, he was drilled in Old Testament history. He grew up near the ruins of Jericho. No doubt, I think he probably heard the story of of its destruction. He may have even asked in the course of his life, wonder why nobody rebuilt Jericho? Look at that prime estate right close to the Jordan River. He didn't know. What are you thinking? That the curse is not going to affect you? Evidently, he came to believe that God really doesn't mean what he says. So he rebuilt the city. Spiritual blindness. You believe in God? Oh, I believe in God. But 530 years later now. I don't think, maybe God's forgotten what he said 500 years ago. Wow. So maybe he's thinking, well, it's okay to change things now. Number five, Tael, what are you thinking? The time doesn't void God's word. He probably thought, so much time's gone by. Maybe he thought, hey, that was 1,000 years before Jesus. This is 500 years before Jesus. We need to maybe update this religion. We need to bring that old religion into this new era, 500 B.C. We're a lot more modern now. We probably need some new commandments to fit this society today. Well, time doesn't void God's word. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. See, God's not governed by our time. 21st century. Here we are today. I'm going to change God's word. It was settled that first century. It has been delivered. And it's been good all through those centuries to this day. And modern technology doesn't change the message of God's word. Its content. What were you thinking? Number six, in your notes. Even a command that seems strange must be obeyed. You might be thinking, that's a strange curse, not rebuild. We're always rebuilding, aren't we? Hiel may have been thinking. 500 years later, look at this location. Let's rebuild. That's a strange curse to put on something. I don't think I need to obey it. That's too strange to me. You might as well, does it really make any difference if I rebuild the city? Maybe it'll be okay if I just change a few things. And might be thinking, I'm not going to rebuild on the exact spot. I'll just move it over a couple feet. That'll make it okay. Close. Maybe that'll be okay with God. I just kind of tweak it a little bit. A lot of people think that way today. Things that we do in our worship assembly and the things that we teach, some people think it very strange. Hey, Brian, you worship every first day of the week. Wow. Can't we change that to Saturday night? What are you thinking? Saturday. You can worship on Saturday night, but that doesn't cancel out the Lord's day. Just add another night. So, the early church worships every day. Special assemblies on Sunday when they gather together to break bread. We didn't just add a Wednesday night when we have a midweek Bible study. We eliminated Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday assembly. Sometimes people think it's strange. We worship every Sunday. That's right, every Lord's Day. You don't have an earthly headquarters? No. You partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Oh, yes. Well, that's strange. We only do it twice a year. What are you thinking? There's absolutely no
Bible support for twice a year to partake of the Lord's Supper. Always do it quarterly. What are you thinking? Quarterly. So these people think it's strange we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We partake of it monthly. What are you thinking? There's no Bible support for that. Somebody told you that, or somewhere in the chain of command it was voted in. But it's certainly not biblical. That's strange. You baptized by immersion?
Oh, yeah.
You don't baptize infants?
No.
That's strange. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, "But the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Forsake my way, forsake my thoughts. The way I think about things. "Let him return unto the Lord, he'll have mercy upon him. And to our God, he'll abundantly pardon." Isaiah says, speaking for God, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth," that's a big distance. "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord." People sometimes think it's strange. It's like Hiel did. That's a strange command. Don't rebuild Jericho. I think somebody was out of their mind when they said don't rebuild. Hiel, what are you thinking? There'll be a lot of people introduce strange things in worship. What are you thinking? Some people, Mark 16, verse 16, doesn't make sense. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's a strange command. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Every creature, tell them the good news. "Then he that believes it and is baptized shall be saved." What a strange command. I think I can change that. What are you thinking? Number 7. We ignore God's word at our own peril. It's likely that Hiel rebuilt Jericho without giving the curse very much consideration. Nothing's going to happen to me. It'll all work out. I say he probably knew the history, heard the curse. But he proceeds with a careless hope that nothing bad's going to happen. Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding." I think, Hiel, did you love your children? I'm going to say yes. Love your boys? I sure did. You want them harmed? No, don't want them harmed. But you know what? I'm just going to choose to ignore God's word and go my own way. Do it my own way. I want to rebuild that city. People ignore God's word to their own peril. Colossians 3, verse 17. I'll close with this one. "Whatsoever you do in word or deed," whatsoever, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus," meaning by his authority. All that we do in the way that we live and the way that we worship, the things that we include in our worship assembly, the way we have our sins forgiven, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, meaning by his authority, by his direction. Giving thanks to God the Father by him. And then I mentioned the other one, but there's Revelation 22. Don't add to the word, don't take away from it. When you do that, I want to say, what are you thinking? What are you thinking when you change the word of God? What are you thinking? That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian, By that I mean here's a plan to follow. If you say, Brian, what must I do to become a Christian? To have my sins forgiven. I say, number one, you need to hear the Word of God. I wouldn't know what to do without hearing. So I need to believe it. John 8, verse 24. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Then you'll need to repent because Jesus said it. I'm the messenger. I'm telling you what Jesus said. Luke 13, 33, repent or perish. The Bible says that when Philip preaches the Ethiopian, he preached unto him Jesus. Ethiopian says, here's water. What hinders me or stops me from being baptized? Philip said, well, if you believe, you may. Ethiopian said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says, stop the chariot. They went down the water right then. Stop the chariot. Philip and Ethiopian went down the water and Philip baptized him. And then from that now, he became a Christian. He was born again. So you need to hear the gospel. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Change your life. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And be baptized. From that point on, you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation. Whosoever will may come. If that's your resolve to follow that plan, obey that gospel, just simply come and have a seat beside me, and we can certainly honor that request. Let's stand and sing the song.